spirit's living on and on.
You might say that legendary comedian Lenny Bruce's biggest problem was that he was just born at the wrong time.
San Francisco, I got arrested for, we can hear that, Daddy. I'm not going to repeat the word because I want to finish the gig here tonight. It's, they said it was vernacular for a favorite homosexual practice, a 10-letter word. It's really chic. That's 2 4-letter words and a preposition. I wish I could tell you the word. It starts with a C. You know what the word is.
50 years ago, the controversial satirist Lenny Bruce died of a drug overdose. Born Leonard Alfred Schneider, the Navy veteran-turned-comedian toured the world. He pushed the boundaries of what was considered vulgar at the time and often paid for it. His commentary on the insanity of modern life and his battles with lawyers was very entertaining.
Swear that he didn't, what he say, Your Honor, he said blah, blah, blah. The judge, he said blah, blah, blah. Then the guy really yanked it up. That's right. I didn't believe it. There was a guy up on the stage in front of women in a mixed audience saying blah, blah, blah. The judge, this I never heard, blah, blah, blah.
Bruce was not a happy fellow, whether by design or because of all the slings and arrows he attracted. On his grave is the epitaph, Beloved Father, Devoted Son, Peace at Last. Sarah Shoemaker is an associate university librarian for archives and special collections at Brandeis University, where she oversees a collection of Lenny Bruce's personal letters, photographs, and recordings. Sarah says his work remains relevant today, 50 years after his death.
More than his humor, I think his legacy holds up. Certainly, there have been his fans and champions over the last decades who have never lost interest. Other comedians and social critics have carried on elements of his legacy. And I think his work and his persona and his point still have a place in the contemporary conversation, even if his humor seems from a different age.
Marijuana, I never smoked pot. I never dug it. It's schlepohoi. It's it'll probably be legal. I figured it'd be legal in about 3 years. Most of the law students I know smoke marijuana, that's why.
Was he aware that he was a first to confront the government on these issues of free speech from an entertainer's perspective?
Was he aware of that? That's a good question. I mean, I think another way to ask that question is, was he aware of being a pioneer? And I think certainly his legal battles put him in that position, and he certainly would have been aware of the effect that those conversations were having on the public, on his own humor, whether or not it was funny. He certainly led the way in being transgressive, and I think in linking his comedy and his life to the very laws that govern our society, he was pushing it as a legal conversation as well as a cultural one and as well as a humor conversation.
Religion recognizes decency where the Constitution doesn't. There's no decent and indecent. The Constitution only recognizes that all people, when they are illegal, are immoral. And then they get busted and they're indecent. And that's where it's at.
What do you think he would say about the general level of language in entertainment today? I mean, would he go, oh, I died for their sins? Or would he say, well, that was a waste of time?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's hard to know. We'll never know how age might have changed Lenny Bruce or even how he himself might have continued to affect the age that he lived in had he lived. But I think certainly he crossed lines. He did so deliberately. And comic figures from Falstaff to Sarah Silverman in drama, in fiction, in real life have often taken that role in order to get us to look at something larger.
Do you think Sarah Silverman and Lenny Bruce would have been pals?
I imagine it would have been a fun conversation to be a part of.
The personal life of Lenny Bruce, how much of that comes through in this material?
Well, that, I think, is a really interesting side of what's revealed in this material. As I mentioned, he really reveals his human side, his letters to his father, which were genuinely affectionate, his pride in his newborn daughter, the family photos from before he was famous. I think all of that really shows a side of warmth that is harder to see from just his stand-up act. Also, the irrepressibility of his expression and his wit. He often wrote things down on whatever was handy, a ticket stub or a page from a book. Really couldn't resist making a comment about almost anything he saw. And I think another piece of this that's interesting today is hearing his voice. The collection includes audio material, which was recently digitized with a grant from the Grammy Foundation. And some of that is his comedy routines. Some of it is verbal notes. Hearing his voice in a new way, quite literally, is an interesting piece from some years ago, but it's a new way to actually literally hear his voice again.
So he's not like Seinfeld, where he talks the same whether he's doing stand-up or whether he's just sort of talking to you.
Well, it's interesting. I think certainly his style has been described before as vocal jazz, and that's very much what it is. And some of his audio recorded notes are more stream of consciousness, less polished, still compelling.
Tragic figure? Does that come through in this archive?
It does to me. I think that seeing him as a real human and a family man and as somebody with warm personal connections and a depth of feeling that might not always show in his comedy, when you know exactly how all of this ended, he does strike me as a tragic figure, yes.
Well, I asked you a moment ago about, you know, all the obscenity that you see in entertainment today and what he would think about that. But perhaps the better question is, what would he think about this election?
I would love to hear his comments on that. I wouldn't be able to supply them in my imagination, but I have no doubt that he would have a lot of interesting things that people would very much be interested in hearing.
Sarah Shoemaker is Associate University Librarian for Archives and Special Collections at Brandeis University. Thanks so much, Sarah.
Thanks very much. My pleasure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.